Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Curious Crime Podcast. I'm your host, Lexi. It's my first ever podcast, and I'm really excited to share some true crime cases with you guys. I am pretty young, not going to say my actual age. I'm under 20, so I kind of want to keep that confidential for right now. And I'm from California. I was born and raised in the Bay Area, so I'm looking forward to doing cases from my area that I find interesting. But today, I'm not doing one from my area. We're actually traveling all the way to Texas. I've personally been to Texas once. I went to San Antonio and did all the touristy kind of things. But I've never been to any other part of Texas, and I have not been to where we're going today for this case. I just want to put this disclaimer in right here. I did, throughout this podcast, refer to the suspect as he or him, and police nor anyone have said that the suspect is a male, so it could be a female, and I'm sorry I did refer to this person as a male. I'm not sure why. I mean, in my head I do think it was a male, but that's straying away from the facts, so I do apologize for that. But thank you guys. This case all begins the morning of April 18th, 2016, where Terry, mostly known as Missy Beavers, was leaving her house between 3:30 and 3:45 a.m. Her husband was actually out of town for a fishing trip, so it was just her and her three daughters at the house. She left pretty early to go and teach fitness classes at a church that was about 25-30 minutes away from her house in Midlothian, Texas, while the family lived in Red Oak, Texas. She gets there around 4:18 a.m. and begins setting up for her students who were supposed, they usually arrived early, but the class was supposed to begin at 5 a.m. Students begin to go into the church around 4:35 a.m., expecting to find Missy setting up for the class, getting ready, and just being a fitness leader and getting ready for her students, maybe thinking about a workout in her mind, etc. And when they go in there, they find a scene they were not expecting. They found her laying in the classroom that they usually used if it was raining, covered in blood and surrounded by broken glass. First responders were immediately called and came within 10 minutes and pronounced her dead on arrival. They thought maybe she was dead from a puncture wound to head or chest. They couldn't really tell right away. It was a pretty gruesome scene. There were video cameras, but Missy is never seen entering the church, which makes people think she went in maybe a back part or somewhere that the video cameras just did not cover. But first, before we get into who may have done this and what even happened, first let's talk about Missy and her past. So she was born on April 9th, 1970. She had three daughters and married her husband, Brandon, in 1998, and they were together for 18 years up until she was killed. Her three daughters at the time of her murder were 8, 13, and 15 years old, so pretty young, actually. I thought they were a little bit older, but that's a hard age to lose your mom, definitely. And as I mentioned before, the family lived in Red Oak, Texas. And from the outside, a lot of people said it looked like a happy family, but more people closer to Missy kind of knew that the marriage wasn't what it looked like on the outside. They definitely had some problems, and especially marital problems. There was talks of an affair and financial problems as well. But Missy herself was described as a warm, passionate, and driven person by her workout students, also friendly by some of her friends, just all around like a warm person you would want to have in your life. And I think that's why this murder is so surprising, is because it seems like she was targeted, but we're not exactly sure why, because she seemed like such a happy, go lucky, bubbly person, and it's hard to try and think of who did this to her. Nonetheless, though, this did happen to her, and I think it's a case that needs to be shared because it's just so mind-boggling how we have a lot of evidence in this case, but we still have no idea who did it. So There was no alarm system in the church, so we're not exactly sure. Like, there's no time to look at when she would have disarmed the alarm, if someone broke in, if it went off, or anything like that. But we did have the video cameras, as I mentioned before, and although Missy wasn't seen on those video cameras, someone else was. And we're going to get into that a little bit later, but it's very creepy. So, looking at the crime scene itself, there was forced entry on the back door. People looking at the way Missy's body was, the church was a mess. There was marks used on every door trying to get in. So it looked like it could have been a possible robbery gone wrong, as if, like, they found Missy when they were looking for something else. But as you look closely, it doesn't seem like that. Her wedding ring was still on her finger, and nothing was taken out of the church. So nothing was taken from her or from where she was, which makes it very unlikely that was a robbery, because if you were going to steal things, you would have just gotten out. And we find out later the real cause of death was a head wound with multiple puncture wounds to the chest, so it was kind of a mix of both. And they did find partial and mixed DNA, but it was not enough to test for and figure out who really could have done this. So leading up to her murder, people did say they were worried about Missy. One of her workout friends, Mark, and other friends and family said they were worried and that she seemed off. The police found target numbers on her phone that were in contact with her a lot, like her husband, friends, family. And we're not sure why those are target numbers exactly. Maybe just people they're looking to are close or have interesting texts between them. But we're not exactly sure. Police haven't really released that. And as I mentioned before, it was found out that her and Brandon were having financial and marital problems at the time. There was talk of Missy being in an affair or taking part in an affair. And so Brandon was a big suspect when this case all started, because of this. That was like the only motive they could find was maybe she was having an affair. That was the only thing that really made sense, because the police looked at all of her friends, all of her family. It looked like there was no reason for this to happen, but it seemed like such a targeted attack. So as police went through her phone more, there was creepy messages that were found on LinkedIn that at first seemed like innocent and flirty and quickly turned sexual, which obviously alerted police that maybe this person could have done it. And both the person and the text messages have not really been released. We just kind of heard they were kind of creepy. Missy actually showed her friends, and even her friends were like, okay, yeah, that's kind of concerning. That's a creepy message. You should probably, like, cut ties with that person. So that was a potential person, but no one's heard anything on that. Police haven't released anything of that. They do think the person she was in contact with was the person to do it so far. Back to that video camera. As I said before, that Missy was not seen on this video camera, but someone was. We just do not know who. So the video starts with a person around 3:50. So before Missy even got to the church, this person was already walking around inside the church. So the video camera is actually extremely creepy. I have it up on my computer to kind of give like a narrative of what's happening in this video. It's just a really creepy person who is, we see, dressed in SWAT tactical gear. We're not sure if it's real. It looks pretty real. And they are systematically going through the church. They're walking with a slight, like, limp, kind of. The police called it more of a gait. And it's very eerie to watch. I suggest you guys go watch it and see if that looks like anyone you know. Maybe help out the police department in this case. But just looking at the person, they look to have something in their hand, possibly a weapon. It looks like they're trying to use this weapon to get into different doors. It was thought that maybe they had two weapons, and it looks like they do in the video. Looks like possibly a hammer and possibly a pry bar. As I mentioned before, there were force entry marks on the back door, and a lot of those look like they could have been made from a pry bar. So it would make sense for this person to have one. He does a lot of standing. He does like constantly. He's wearing gloves. He's wearing a helmet. He's wearing SWAT gear. It's really hard to tell any like physical features about this other than maybe their height. And they kind of walk with their with one of their legs turned out, which is kind of distinctive that you could see. And they're checking out every room. Like it looks like they're going into the church nursery right now, the one that has like the door on that opens from the top and the bottom. So if you open the bottom, the parents can see, but the kids won't go out, and he just leaves these doors open. He walks along the walls, just touching walls, and it looks like he's looking for something. It looks like he's hunting for something, possibly someone, which makes you really think that this is a targeted attack. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense as to why this person is walking around so systematically, like making it seem as if they're looking for something, and then not take anything. And the police gear, it says police on the back of his SWAT jacket, which I think looks extremely real. Indeed, like, and we'll look at that in our possible suspects of being an ex-police officer, but it just makes me question, like, yes, it could be fake, but like the gear looks extremely, like the boots, the helmet, it all looks like it is authentic police gear. Which I think is even scarier because that's like a person of power that Missy would have seen and maybe not have been so alarmed. And then this ends up happening to her, which I think is terrifying for anyone. As I said before, a slow-paced walk. It's really eerie. He like systematically is going around this church just over and over. And I definitely think he was looking for Missy or at least someone. So I told you before that Missy arrived at this church at around 4:18, and her students found her at 4:35. That leaves a very small window for this to have happened. It leaves about 15 to 20 minute window, and as we can see, this person was hunting before she got there, maybe waiting for her to get there. But the question is how, if this was a targeted attack, how would they have known? Because that's not something you just know about a person. Well, for Missy, it was something that people could easily figure out. She posted on Facebook promoting these Camp Gladiator classes a lot. And actually, the night before, she posted that if it was raining, that the class would be inside the church. So if someone who's on that Facebook page, maybe even on LinkedIn, as we mentioned before, they could have seen that and knew exactly where she was going to be and what time these workouts started. And honestly, it was just kind of easy setup for the person whoever did this because they knew that she would probably be alone before the class. So they had the window of opportunity, which is sad, but it's also something that police can use. So it's not all bad, but it is for her, if that makes sense. Other than that video camera inside the church, there's another video camera that picks up something odd outside a sporting goods store, which is kind of across the street in close proximity to the church. So it sees it. You, if you watch this video, I'll link this as well. And I think you guys should really go check out these videos because they're extremely creepy and you also could have some information. But we see it looks like a 2012 Nissan Altima or like an Infiniti G7 sedan, like just driving around this parking lot. It's very eerie. It doesn't look like they're heading somewhere. It looks like they're kind of hanging out. So it's just like a video of this person turning into this parking lot of the church. And as soon as they do, they turn their lights off, which I think is a little more creepy because it's like the middle of the night, it's pouring down rain. You wouldn't normally just drive around a parking lot with your headlights off. Like, I would understand if this person was stopped and looking for something, but they weren't. And it was like, if you watch them, as soon as they turn in this parking lot, it's like lights off immediately. And then they start driving around. I'm not sure if they're like looking for someone's car in particular. It could be that. It could just be like It's just honestly creepy, and I think personally, I think that's who's possibly responsible, because why else would you be creeping around the parking lot with your lights off, not parking anywhere, just driving? It looks like they're waiting. It does look like they're waiting, but don't want to park either. And so it's just like a really creepy, they're driving super slow in some parts and then super fast in other parts. I think it's just so interesting because we have these two videos of not only this person, and to make it even creepier, when he drives past somewhere where it looks like there is cars, he turns his lights back on. But as soon as he is in the parking lot all by himself, he turns his lights back off. It's just a whole just video of this creepy driving that doesn't really make any sense. I mean, if you would see this in any other instance, I think you would try to come up with excuses, but I don't know what an excuse would even be to drive around an empty parking lot with your headlights off in the pouring rain in the middle of the night. But not only that, there was a second suspicious SUV that was seen by the police. It's a bigger, it looks like a darker SUV, and the one we seen this looks to be silver. The sedan looks to be silver, and we're never able to find the either person driving, so which makes it even creepier because you'd think you'd want to clear your name, but we weren't able to get a license plate or anything on that car, so it's just kind of like an open lead. We're not really sure. Police aren't really sure about who or why this person. I think now that we've gone over the crime scene and Missy's personal life and her family dynamic with not only her husband but her kids, it's time to look at some suspects that police had found. Obviously, her husband was looked into immediately because wife or spouse and families are always looked into pretty quickly. And it was proven by cell phone records and flights that he was 600 miles away on a fishing trip, like he had told police that he was. The weird thing about him, though, was he never, like, asked the police what happened to her. He never flat out, like, asked her how she was killed or anything. I mean, maybe that was just, like, him not wanting to really cope with, like, the bad things that, like, or in the way she was killed, not try to think about that, but I still think it's kind of odd that he didn't ask. He also claimed that he knew that she was having an affair, which I think is kind of odd, but because it wasn't explicitly proven that she was, but he said that he knew that she was. Another person that police looked into pretty heavily was Brandon's father, so her husband's father, or her father-in-law, Randy. One suspicious thing that did happen was a few days after she was murdered, Randy showed up to the dry cleaners with a bloody shirt, but it was a woman's shirt, which is pretty odd. I think it was an extra large woman's shirt. And it was covered in blood. So obviously the person working at the dry cleaners got a little suspicious after hearing about Missy's murder and knew this was her father-in-law, so decided to contact police and saying, "Hey, this guy came in here with a bloody shirt." And they tested the blood, and his story was that it happened in a dog fight. So some family friends' dogs, his dog, they got in a fight and he tried to break it up. The blood got everywhere. And the vet was able to prove it, and eventually they got that blood tested, which also proved that it was animal's blood and no one else's. And also, Randy said he was in California at the time of the murder. It wasn't like confidently proven, but he did walk super similar to the suspect in that video that we see. I mean, he looked pretty stocky and short. He's not a really huge, tall dude, so I mean, it was definitely a possibility, but they didn't have any hard proof or hard evidence that he was connected to her murder in any way, and eventually that lead kind of fizzled out. There was also one interesting thing that I think could be a serious possibility. Is this person could be a woman, the one we see in the video camera, the one who did this to her? Because there are just certain things that I feel like if a man would have done this, that he would have done to Missy, not just like sexual assault. It was never said that she was or she wasn't, but I'm pretty sure she wasn't. Actually, I think it was said that she wasn't sexually assaulted. And people were saying, okay, maybe it's this person that she was having an affair with or someone who really liked her. The weird thing was her ring was still on her finger. And I feel like if a man she was, like, in a sexual relationship with or had eyes on her would have done this to her, I think he would have taken that wedding ring off, considering the whole reason they couldn't have been together was because she was married. Or I just feel like that is kind of an interesting thing that whoever did this to her left her on, because it's, first of all, it's worth a lot of money, but also if a man had done this, sometimes they'd take the wedding ring to take away that marriage. But also, the person we see in the video is super short, and it looks like the, like, equipment is too big. Like, the SWAT jackets and stuff, and it, especially the shoes. The shoes look like they were pretty big, and one thing that kind of points to this theory is when you watch this person walk, they're kind of swinging their feet in the shoes, like, if it's too big, or as if one leg is fake, which, I mean, both are possibilities. Anything is a possibility, really, but when looking at the tapes, it does look like that the shoes possibly could be too big, because they're kind of walking, like, swinging and, like, trying to keep the shoes on, which I definitely think is a possibility, maybe throw off people in watching the video. And one of the last theories that police had was a man named Bobby Wayne Henry. He was a 34-year-old man, and he was an ex-cop, so the uniform would make sense. And he was, the reason he's an ex-cop is because he was charged with rape. So it's definitely a possibility. There's not a ton known about him or his connection to the case, but I'm pretty sure he was ruled out as well. I mean, a lot of these theories look kind of good for it, like the bloody shirt, the dry cleaners, or an ex-cop, so he would have a uniform like that. But, and Bobby Wayne also walked with the limp, so, I mean, that's a pretty good suspect to have. The uniform's covered, the limp's covered, but it's still not proven, and I don't know if we're ever gonna know who did this to Missy, which I think is really sad for not only her, but her family, her husband, and her kids especially, to have to just keep going on with life and have no idea who hurt your mom, or what happened to her, why. I think that's the big question, is why. There's not really a motive found to hurt her in this way, but nonetheless, I mean, crimes without motives happen frequently. I mean, maybe it was a crime of opportunity, but I think it seriously looks like it was targeted because someone knew she was going to be in that church that morning. Someone was walking around there, I think, looking for her, opening every door, terrorizing things, kind of making it known they were looking for something, going in every door. And so I definitely think it was targeted. We just, probably by someone she knew. It's just, the question is, who would want to hurt her, and will they ever get caught? But that is it, you guys. Thank you for listening to the Curious Crimes podcast. I'm Lexi, your host. Hopefully I get to keep doing these. I had a lot of fun recording this, but I know the audio is crappy considering I'm recording on my phone. One day I think I will invest in some better equipment, if I'm really on board with this. So thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye.